This series that I'm doing on faith, I'm wanting to make it that each week is complete in itself, you know what I mean? So it's not like a serial. If you've missed part one, then it's no good coming for part. I want to make each one complete in themselves. So I'm going to read from a beautiful scripture from Hebrews that you know. And this is the only definition of faith in the whole of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And this is the definition of faith, the only definition in the Bible about faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So the ancients were commended for their faith. That's the definition. Like I've said, it's the only definition, but there's many, many examples in the Bible of faith, and we take further definitions from the examples that are in there. And verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Last week, we started off by talking about the importance of love, because Paul talks about faith. He said the only thing that matters in Galatians, the only thing that matters, not circumcision, not uncircumcision, you know, not the law, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. And I love that scripture. Paul understood it. Faith is very powerful, but if it doesn't express itself through the love of God, faith can become a very damaging thing. It can cause all sorts of problems, as we'll see as we continue. So faith works and expresses itself, should do, through love. And so we talked last week about, I was very personal last week. I gave my personal testimony, how God turned me back on the path and put me back to loving him and finding great delight in him again. And I mentioned, and this is what I really want to emphasize today, about, you know, what basically faith is as far as God is concerned. Now, we understand what faith is because faith is something that everybody possesses. Every human in the world possesses it. Now, there's a scripture in Ephesians that says, you know, you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And some preachers have actually preached it like this: you're saved by grace through faith, and faith is a gift of God. No, that is a wrong interpretation of that verse. We're saved by grace through faith, and the actual gift of God is grace, not faith. And if you look at any commentary on that, vast majority of Greek students and theologians would say grammatically it's talking about grace being the gift of God and not faith. Because some people say there's a special kind of saving faith, you may have even heard it, or healing faith, and it's not. The reality is faith, it's put into every human being. It is a gift of God, in so much as lots of other things within us are the gift of God, because we are created beings by God. But we all possess faith, whether you're a Muslim, or a Hindu, or a Buddhist, or an atheist, or a Christian. You possess faith. And you think about it, you can't live without faith. Yeah. Faith is simply believing, to believe something. And every single day, every day, we exercise faith in all sorts of things. If you found it hard to believe and you didn't have faith, it's very likely you wouldn't venture out of the house in the morning. You certainly wouldn't get on a bus. You certainly wouldn't drive your car. You wouldn't get on an airplane because, you know, unless you knew that the pilot could really fly the thing really good. So there's lots of, and people say to me, often they say, when I'm talking to them about God, they'll say, "Oh, I will only believe when I can see. Don't talk to me about blind faith. I believe when I can see. If I could see it, I'll believe it." So I say to them, "Have you read the newspapers today?" And often they'll say, "Yes, I have. Did you read about such and such a thing?" "Yes, I did." "Do you believe it happened?" "Yes." "Did you see it?" "No, you didn't." You're actually believing what you read by faith. Come on, it's faith. You have to believe by faith to trust your wife, to trust your husband, to trust your kids, the kids to trust their parents. It goes on and on and on. You have to. Faith is something that is enacted hundreds of times in a day. Really, it is. You've already, and it's got nothing necessarily to do with God. You've enacted faith hundreds of times a day already. So faith is just believing. That's what I discovered when God told me to go and study faith. The best word for faith is to believe. I believe something. I'm believing. Okay. So if I have faith in Buddha, or as a Hindu in some of the gods that they worship, that faith is the same faith that I can have and express in Almighty God. It's not a different faith. I want you to grasp that. It is so, so important. Because faith is under your control, whereas grace is under God's control. Grace is given to those who believe, but those who believe in God's gospel and grace are the people who that faith was under their control, and they have chosen to put that faith in God. Do you see? It's what you, faith is where you put it. It's your responsibility to put faith in God's word, and then having done that, God brings grace into play. Can you understand? So, while it is true that salvation is totally free, and that it is not by works, and I thank God of that. Do you? I'm so glad. But maybe, you know, because I could see people in here, very smart people, very good living people, and, you know, you would have maybe done it alone. Don't think so. None of us would have done it alone. No matter how good we think we are, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all need to be saved, and we all need to put faith in what God has said to bring about our salvation. So while salvation is free, there is one thing you have to do. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I've just quoted a scripture to you. Who's to believe? You are. You believe. It's something that you do. In fact, it is the only thing that God requires of us for salvation is to believe. If we believe, we will receive from God. If you choose not to believe in the Word of God, but you put your faith in the Quran, or you put your faith in Buddha, or you put your faith in the Hindu gods, if you do that, that's your choice. You have actually chosen to do that. Way back in the beginning, when Adam and Eve was there and God said to them, don't eat the fruit of that tree. I told you last week, believing has got nothing to do with believing there's a God. Because we all do. That's just stamped upon us that there's a God. And if somebody stands up and say, I don't believe in God, that person is a fool. That's what the Bible says. They're just rejecting something that's stamped on their personality. God has put eternity in our hearts. That's what the scriptures tell us. So it's there. So it's not a commendable thing to say, I believe in God. Because if you talk to a Hindu, they will tell you they believe in God. And they put an S on the end of it. Gods. There's over 3 million deities that they believe in. If you talk to a Buddhist, they will say they believe. If you talk to the Muslims, they will tell you they believe in God. But when we come to the Bible, way back in the beginning, Adam and Eve failed not because they didn't believe in God, but because they didn't believe what God said. I'm going to labor this point, because if you can grasp this point, if you can grasp it, I'll tell you, faith is going to come a whole lot easier to you. faith is just about, as far as God is concerned, now he knows all the different belief systems that's going on out there. And when Paul was talking to the Thessalonians, he was saying to them, these were Christian people, not all men believe. But he didn't mean they've got no faith. What he meant was, not all men believe what we believe. They believe different things. There is no such thing as non-belief. There is only wrong belief. Everybody say wrong belief. Everybody believes, you see. There's no such thing as not having faith, as non-belief. But it is wrong belief. It's where we put it. So way back in the garden, God says, don't eat the fruit of that tree. Because if you do, the tree in the midst of the garden, which is the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat of the fruit of that tree, in the day that you eat, you will die. Now, God Almighty spoke those words to these two creatures that he'd made, Adam and Eve. And by the way, let me just say, when God made Adam and Eve, he was very pleased with what he'd made. Because God now had made something physical. Or before that, it was all spiritual, what God had created. All the angelic hosts, the angelic beings. But now he's created a universe. He's created galaxies. He's created a planet, Earth. And he's created life on that. And God, was incredible, because it says, and I like this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. Everything you see now came out of the invisible, didn't exist. So God created it. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And when he created Adam and Eve, he was very pleased with Adam and Eve. Let me just tell you this. On each day, God says, it is good, it is good, it is good. Then when he finished with Adam and Eve, he says, it's very good. And I can imagine him saying to the angels, look what I've made. Just look at this, guys. This is something great. This is unique. Look at those two people there. Look at the brains that I've given them. The incredible abilities that they will have. In fact, God's creation, people don't realize this. A lot of Christians don't realize it. It's so spectacular that God says when they had sinned, go and multiply over the face of the earth. But they didn't. They stay together in one place, and somebody says, let's try to reach God. Now, they were all sinners. They've been kicked out of the garden, and they started to multiply, multiply, multiply. And as you know, God had to destroy the first bunch because of sin that was there, but out of Noah came another bunch, and we're part of that bunch that came out of Noah. And they were multiplying very fast. And they started to build a tower to God. You can read this in Genesis. They started to build a tower to God. Now, what sort of a tower was they building when God said, let's go down and have a look at this? I don't think God bothered to come down to look at the towers that we've built on earth today. I don't think they've interested him one little bit. And we built some big towers. There's some big towers in America, some huge towers in Dubai. But God never said, I've got to go and have a look at that. But this one, he came to look at it. And this is what he said. Now remember, there was no different languages, one language. God had said to them, go and multiply. They didn't. They stayed in the one place and they built the tower. It became known as the Tower of Babel. Because God said, look what they have done. If they continue like this, nothing will be impossible for them. That's what God said about the human race. I didn't say it. It's here in Scripture. In Genesis 11, God says, nothing that they do will be impossible for them. So I think to myself, what had they done back then? What technology had they come across? What had they done? What were they building, and how were they building it that God says, if they continue like this, nothing that they set their minds to do will be impossible. They've said, let us build a tower to God. Now, we can't be talking just dimensional. just geographical, because God isn't up there. You know why he's not up there? Because we're in Australia and we're pointing down. If you was in England, you'd be pointing up. Where is he? Where is he? So it was not a geographical thing. They were clicking onto things and being able to go into dimensions. Like today, we started to go into dimensions with all our computerization. Just think what man has done today. I was just listening to the radio a couple of days ago, and this scientist was talking and said, it won't be too long into the future when we will be able to take the genes of human beings and we can make those genes what we want them to be. We can cut out all sickness, all disease. We can give perfect genes. Now, I think it's a load of rubbish, but this is what they're saying. We can do this. And therefore, we can shape a people that we want. Isn't that amazing? So when God saw them way back there, they were literally doing this. So God says, whatever they put their minds to, they can do. So the human brain that God's made in us is something phenomenal. Would you agree with that? I think it is. I think man has an incredible brain. So God confused their languages. And so they had to separate and leave what they were doing and go and spread over the face of the earth. Man is powerless. God says, wow, what I've made, I'm pleased with. And he says to them, you know, I want you to worship me. I want you to love me. But, you know, you've got a freedom of expression. I haven't made you robots. I've made you creatures with a freedom of expression. And that freedom of expression had to be tested. So God put one tree in this wonderful garden to test their freedom of expression and said, don't touch it. Because if you do, you'll die. The serpent came along. The devil had come into the serpent, and the serpent spoke to Adam and Eve, and which incidentally didn't frighten them. You know, Eve was having a conversation with the serpent. So in those days, they had this wonderful ability to communicate to animals. How many of you know people can communicate to animals? Come on, they can. Some very much so, some more than others, because it's a God-given thing. Adam and Eve could communicate with the animals. And the serpent said to her, look at the tree in the middle. And the serpent says, has God said you shouldn't eat of the fruit of that? And she says, yeah, God says we shouldn't eat or touch. Well, he didn't say you shouldn't touch. She got that bit mixed up. He just says you shouldn't eat. Don't eat it. And the serpent said to her, and I'm just, you know, adding to this now. But what he says was, Eve, that's a lie. God knows that if you take the fruit of that tree, you'll be like him. It will be good to eat, and you'll turn out like God. You won't die. You'll be like God. So all of a sudden, Eve is confronted with two lots of words. The serpent says, you won't die, you'll be like God. God said, if you eat the fruit of that tree, you'll die. In the day you eat, you'll die. Who does Eve believe? Who does Eve believe? Who should she have believed? God. Because he was speaking the truth. Instead, she believed the serpent who was being manipulated by Lucifer, the fallen angel. She actually believed it. And then when she said to her husband, come on, let's take the fruit of that tree, there would have been a conversation there, and she would have said to him, we're going to be like God if we do. So her husband must have believed that he was not going to die, but that those two would become like God. Isn't it amazing? When Lucifer fell, he fell through pride. He wanted to be like God. He said, I will set my throne above the stars. I will set my throne above the throne of the Most High God. He called him the Most High and said, I'm going to be higher than him. Well, how ridiculous is that? Because if he's the Most High, you can't get any higher. He actually called him the Most High and said, I'll be higher than the Most High. Well, how can you be higher? He's not the Most High if you can be higher. So you can see how... what an idiot Satan was. But he had said, if you eat this fruit, you will be like God. He was tempting her along the same lines of pride that he was tempted on. He was so beautiful, he was so wise, he thought he was better than God. And now God's created these human beings who think, I want to be like God. Wow. And so they believed the serpent. They took the fruit, and this is it, sin entered in. For the last 6,000 years, this is the battle that God has had. Not, do you believe in that there's a God? That means nothing. But do you believe what God, Jehovah, says? That's where it is all important. And if you can go out of here tonight holding that thought that faith is to do with the Word of God. Do you remember when Jesus was speaking to some of the Jews, and they were Pharisees and teachers of the law, in John's Gospel? He said to them, listen to this, he said to them, now these were Jews. How many of you know that the Jews believed they were the chosen people of God? Am I right, Bible? They believed they were the chosen people of God. And Jesus said to these Pharisees, you are like your father, the devil. He's talking to the most religious of the Jews who believed they were the children of God. Now, one of them wanted to crucify him. He says, you are like your father, the devil. Now, listen to this. And it says the devil speaks his native tongue, which is lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar. And Jesus said, you are the children of that liar. So if Satan lies, they lie. Because in actual fact, they were not believing in God. They were believing in anything but God. But they had the Bible, the Old Testament. Those Pharisees could quote the Old Testament better than what you can. If you was going to be a Pharisee by the age of 10, 12, you could quote the first five books of the Bible off by heart. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These were the highest of the religious people. They knew the Bible. Paul was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. He knew the Word of God. But did he? He knew how to quote the Word of God. But he was not using his faith through love. And neither were these Pharisees. Do you know, if you start quoting the Bible and it's not out of love for God, do you know it can be absolutely destructive? Do you know you can destroy a person's life by using the Bible against them when you're not doing it in love? When you become judgmental and you become like a policeman to them, that you're judging them, that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. So even though the Pharisees believed the Old Testament, they were not using their faith through, which they should have done, through love, to get a true understanding of what the Scriptures are about. See, the battle for everything that happens, everything, is according to the Word of God. Do you believe it or not? Now listen to this. If you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells you. Amen. Everything that you believe that's going to get you to heaven is from this book. Not Shakespeare. Not Woman's Day magazine. Not any other book, but the Bible contains God's Word. Intricately, in an incredible, special way, the Bible is God's Word. And it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. You can have a look around, have a good look around you. You won't see any of this in heaven. You know, your clothes you got on, they won't be in heaven. Your reading glasses won't be in heaven. Hallelujah. Your false teeth won't be in heaven. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, it won't be in heaven. You're going to take nothing to heaven with you. But the book that's in your hand, the Word of God, will remain for eternity. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I'll tell you something else. I was preaching the gospel this morning, and I was saying to people, because some people see God as a policeman. I don't. I see God and Jesus as a physician, the healer. I see him as a doctor. And have you ever noticed that when you go to the doctors, if he calls you in to talk to you, he'll ask you some very personal questions. Do you smoke? How much? Do you drink? How much? And the questions go on and on, and nobody gets upset. But if a policeman asks you those questions, you get upset. We call it interrogation. Don't we? You think about it. The world needs policemen, and the world needs doctors. Thank God for both. But we treat policemen differently to what we treat doctors. And a lot of people, I think, Christians, speak to people as if God is a policeman, and they miss it. God is a healer. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He wants to ask you personal questions because he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Are you thirsty? Jesus says, come to me and drink. Come to me. He's inviting us all to come to him. And I said this morning, you know, somebody once asked me, well, if God is God, why can't he just forgive me for what I do and I'll go to heaven with you to be, and I just don't have to ask me any questions, just leave me alone, let me live my own life the way I want, and he can just take me to heaven. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, if you go to heaven like you are, I don't want to go. I don't want to be in heaven with you because you're a sinner. I said, I don't want to be in heaven with you because you do what you're doing down here. You contaminate everything. Come on. And some of you, I don't know you all, but most of you, a lot of you I know, you're good Christians. You're not perfect, but you're good Christians. You've received Jesus as a healer. Amen? So when you get to heaven, guess what? Your sin's being left outside. Amen. Come on. Amen. God has made a beautiful heaven that's not to be contaminated by us. And the Word of God, as we believe it, cleanses us. Jesus is a healer. Hallelujah. And one day, God will be the policeman. Because you know what policemen do, don't you? They lock you up. Or they send you to be locked up. Police uphold justice against injustice. And there'll come a time when God will no longer be the healer, the doctor, but he will be the judge. And I'm glad, because if you haven't received Jesus as a doctor, I don't want to be in heaven with you neither, because you'll contaminate it. You'll take your rotten, stinking sin into heaven and just continue to contaminate. That's what you do. Like, if there's a bad apple in a bag, and you go to the shops, you buy a load of apples, and you see one's bad, when you get home, you'll throw it. You won't leave it in there because it will contaminate all the others. Well, we don't want sin in heaven. Amen? Amen. Are you glad there's not going to be any? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. We're leaving all our sin, our lies, our cheating, our stealing, our lust, our failure. They're all outside. We're going into heaven because he is our Savior. And we know all this. All this is known through this. All that God's asking me to do is to believe it. When I first started to study faith, as I told you last week, I looked at the life of Abraham and found the word believe. The word faith doesn't appear in his life except the word believe does. So then I started to think, yeah, believe, believe. And I was studying it, and I asked God the question. This is back in the late 1970s. I said, God, why do we have to come this way? Why is it the faith way? And you know what God said to me? It was so clear. He says, I have never asked you or anyone to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. So I remember saying in my mind, what? Are you telling me that you have faith? I never ever thought that God could have faith. Why would he? Why would God need faith? I always think that. Why? And it was a mystery to me because the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is, say it again, a bit louder, love. So I used to think, this is how I thought, love is the greatest because love will endure for eternity. We don't need faith in heaven. We don't need hope in heaven. That's how I used to believe. I used to think the reason why faith and hope was only for here now and that love continues. So it's the greatest. That's what I believed. Now God's telling me something different. He's saying to me, I'm asking you to do what I do. So I said, well, where do you have faith? Why have you got to have faith? And the answer came very clearly. I believe in my word. I believe what I have said. Every word that I speak, I put my whole faith behind my works, behind my word. I believe what I have said, and because I believe it, miracles happen. See, all this that you could see, where did it come from? Where did it come from? Well, we've read the scripture. The universe was created at God's command. What does that mean? He spoke it into being. God spoke life as we know it into being. Now, I told you the other week, remember, that when you, some people say when they're speaking fast, they say, oh, I spoke without thinking. Have you ever said that? You know, you've said something you shouldn't, and oh, I spoke without thinking. But how many of you know that's impossible to do? Everybody thinks before they speak. You cannot speak one word, but that your brain hasn't already thought about it. And it may be milliseconds, but it's thought about it. Now, God spoke. Before God spoke, he was visualizing what he was going to make because it wasn't there. The earth wasn't here. The moon wasn't here. The sun wasn't here. The solar system wasn't here. The galaxies weren't here. Nothing was here. Nothing physical. So God started to think and to imagine. And he saw a world. Now this is very simplistic, I understand. But I'm pretty sure this is the way it is. In the mind of God, he saw something he'd never created before. And God has always been, and God's always been creating. Don't think we're the only thing he's created. Before us, it was the angelic beings. On and on. God has always existed, therefore God has always created. But when he came to this, this was something physical that he'd not done before. Because how many of you know that all the angels, the water's going, all the angels, yeah, Pastor David's going to turn it off, are spirit beings. Do you hear me? Angels are spirit beings. They're not physical. All the angelic hosts. But God made this physical. Now listen, grab this. Don't bother about that. This won't help you very much if you just listen to that. Listen to what I'm going to say now. It's going to place something in you that's really going to be helpful. God visualized what he wanted to create. In the same way that we visualize when we're going to make something, when we're going to paint something, when a sculpture, as before him, a big slab of... How many of you know that a sculpture don't just look at a lump of marble? He sees beyond it. He sees a finished product. An artist comes to a canvas, and you and I just see a canvas here and a brush in his hand. He is visualizing in his mind's eye what he wants. He visualizes the colors. He visualizes the shapes, and then he puts it to work. Well, we are made in the image of God. God also visualizes. And then he did something. The Bible says he spoke. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the water, or brooded upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. He started to speak. And when he spoke, things happened. He'd created the heavens and the earth, and now he was bringing the earth into its full beauty. But prior to that, he created the suns and the moons and the stars, everything. How? Visualize them, and he says they were formed at his command. Everybody say command. God commanded. He didn't just speak, he commanded. He commanded in such a way that as he commanded, he believed that what he said would happen. He believed. God put faith into his word. He didn't think, let there be light, and then say to Gabriel, I hope it happens. That's what we do. Come on, that's what we do. He just commanded, let there be light. And he believed what he said would happen, and it happened. God. That is the power of faith in the spoken word of God. So God taught me something wonderful, that God has faith. And so I thought, yeah, I can see that. I can see it. Because you've made all this from nothing. You believed that when you spoke, it would happen. You'd visualize it. You then articulated that in words. It's what the Bible says. It's not my. We know, the writer says, that the universe, the heavens were formed at God's command. He didn't use a hammer and chisel. He didn't use an electric screwdriver or drill. He just spoke. He doesn't have hands and feet as we do. He's a spirit. He inhabits everything. And he spoke and he believed what he said and it happened. Bang, 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 bang. Then when he made Adam and Eve, he put in us that ability to have faith in his word. That which produces miracles is a person believing in God's word. Somebody says, if God says it and I believe it, that settles it. Amen. The miracles flow. And then I said to God, well, Lord, I've got that now. You've got faith. And you're asking me to have faith. That is, I'm talking about in his word. Because I've got faith in lots of other things. See, before I had faith in God's word, I lived for 15 years. But I had faith in other things. I had faith in lots of things. I didn't believe that. In fact, my teachers at school told me that Genesis was a fairy story. And that evolution is how we came to be. And I actually believed what the teacher said. And they would talk to us about evolution. And I, as a kid, I believed it. I didn't believe that the Bible was true. Until the night I got saved when a scripture was quoted. And I put my trust in Jesus. I got born again. And then I started to believe. I better believe this. Now, I came to Genesis. What do I do now? I better believe it. So I started to believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. I know some people who don't. I know some people who tear pages out. Not literally, but they tear them out. Not interested in that. A lot of people I know very rarely read the book of James. If they could, they'd tear it out. Because James is such a wonderful book, that's where Christianity, really where the rubber meets the road. When you read James, it really, yeah, that's where it should be. So I said to God, I can understand this now. You've got faith in your creation. Okay. Well, why have I got to keep on having faith? Why, when the end comes, and I'm in heaven, because all that has been said there is fulfilled, and I've believed it, why do I need any more faith? And the Lord said to me, because I am the great creator, and I will continue to create for eternity. And I'm wanting you to keep believing with me. When I speak my word, I want you to keep on believing my word. Can you imagine what a different world this would have been if Eve had said to the serpent, "Get out of here. Shut up, you liar. Get out." And said to Adam, "That serpent just told me to take the fruit out. What a liar he says. He reckons we'll be like God." And Adam would have said, "No way. No, we're not going to. God says don't." Well, if they'd have believed God, what sort of a world would it be? Yeah. There'd be no lumbago. There'd be no Panadols. Come on, there'd be nothing. There'd be no sickness. There'd be no sin. There'd be no lust. There'd be no greed. There'd be no wars. What a world it would have been. It would have been perfect. But they didn't believe the word of God. And that's the trouble that God's got with the people today. Not just us, all over the world. God's trying to get people to believe his word. And let me tell you something about the Bible. It is true, and it is a spiritual book. One of the first times I went to India, and I was asked to, I've shared this with you before, but I was asked to preach to about 15,000 Hindus. We were right up in North India there in the early 80s, and the preacher says to me, "You're on, you're the speaker for the night," this was the missionary, and so we had some singing items, a few announcements, and he says to me, as we're singing, because we're sitting on the big platform we'd got, and there's 15,000 Hindus out there, 15,000 at least, no chairs, all sitting on the floor, and he whispered to me, he says, "John, none of these have heard of Jesus." I thought, "What?" I said, "How long do I have to preach for?" He said, "You've got 20 minutes. I said, "Well, none of them have heard of Jesus. I've got 20 minutes to preach to all these Hindus. Where do you start? You try and start with Genesis and go through to Revelation in 20 minutes. It's very difficult. Especially for somebody like me." So I'm battling with this. And I said, "Lord, what do I do here?" This is the first time I'd preached to a congregation such as this. And I felt the Lord says, "Preach Christ and him crucified." That's what Paul said. That's the scripture that Paul said. I preach Christ and him crucified. So it's all right, I will. So I go up and I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified a bit longer than 20 minutes because you know what I'm like. So it was not a lot longer, but it was a bit longer. And I just preached it. The anointing of God hit me. And I could see in the congregation the people were crying and wiping tears away. And as I preached, "Jesus was crucified for you because he loves you. And God loves you. And there's only one true God." I mean, these are Hindus I'm talking to. There's only one true God. Come. And when the meeting had finished, I gave the appeal. About 2,000 people came forward. And they were throwing all little bracelets on the platform and cigarette packets on the platform and all this. Because there's something about God's word that is eternally true. It taught me a wonderful lesson. That, you know, I was thinking, now, how can I explain this in detail about Jesus to these? You know, how can I be scientific about this? Don't have to be any of those things. Just preach what the Bible says because it is God's word. And if anybody dares to believe it, they get saved. That's a promise that God's made. Just preach the word, and if they believe it, they will get saved. If they don't believe it, they won't get saved. I was called to the doctors early this week. I'd had a blood test done, and, you know, yearly he sends me for it, and I get my sugars tested and my cholesterol and all that. Anyway, he rang me up, or the office rang me last week and says, "Make an appointment to see him. He wants to see you straight away." So I made an appointment. I went in on Monday, and I said, "Is everything all right?" He said, "Sit there." I said, "What?" He says, "He got all the computer, all your levels are good. Your sugar's good. Your cholesterol's good. Everything's good, apart from your iron. Your iron's shot. You're in big trouble. This is a shocking reading." And I said, "Well, that's funny." I said, "Because every time I give blood and they prick my finger and put it on there, they say how good my iron is." He says, "You give blood?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "Did you give blood when you had that test?" I said, "Yeah, about 3 days before." He said, "That's it then." He said, "Go on, get off." And I learned something that day. I learned that blood levels drop. Iron levels drop when you've given blood. Nobody bothered to tell me that. So he was. But what I liked about him was that he called me in. He called me in. And he asked me the questions. But listen, and that's not the first time the doctor's called me in to ask me questions. When he asked me questions, I don't think this is interrogation. I think to myself, hey, this guy cares about my health. So I'll answer him. I won't get offended. I won't think he's prying, you know, when he talks about my food, talks about my diet, because I know he's got my welfare at heart. But you know what? He can call me in, but if I don't go, he can't do nothing. Yeah. And can I say this, that God Almighty cannot do anything with any person in the world who will not come to him. See, Jesus says, come to me. He cried out, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then on another occasion, he says, if anyone here is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Twice, let him come to me. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone opens and invites me in, I'll come in. James says, if you will draw near to God, God will draw near to you. So the onus is on us to believe that when God calls, we follow. Amen. Come on, when God says, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We obey that. When God said, if you're thirsty, if you're thirsting for life, come to me, I'll give it to you. But the world out there says no. They hear the same word that you hear, the same word that I hear. They hear the same things that I hear and you hear, but they say no. When I was pastoring in Armidale, there was a man in Armidale who was a real good friend of mine, and he was a commercial painter, but he was not a Christian. But he'd come to church because he just liked me. He said he loved my preaching, but he never became a Christian. But he was a good friend, and I was quite close to him. I regarded him as a good friend, but I knew he drank a lot. And then one day I'd gone round to visit him, and he just got back from the doctors, and the look on his face was shocking. I said, what's wrong? Bad report. I said, what do you mean bad report? The doctor says that my liver's shot. I'm dying. It's a drink that's doing it. I said, what? I said, I know you drink a lot. He said, yep, that's it. Just nothing but bad news for me. So I was in the kitchen. I was sitting at his kitchen table with him. I got up, went over to the cupboard, opened the cupboard, and there were these bottles of beer. So I took them out, went over to the sink, took the tops off, and started to pour them out. He says, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, I'm getting rid of this poison. I'm getting rid of the stuff that's killing you. So I stopped. He stopped me. He said, no, don't you do that. I said, hang on a minute. This stuff is poison to you, isn't it? Don't you touch that. You put that back where it belongs. He got angry with me. So I put it back. I watched him die. The last few weeks of his death was absolute agony, agonizing. The doctor would have given him the same advice that I was giving him. Cut it out. I pleaded with him, but he wouldn't listen. And he died an agonizing death. House said, I see the world like that. God's trying to get his word all across the globe. It's only the gospel that saves, not philosophy. The gospel. Listen. Not theology, the gospel. Are you with me here? That God is saying, I want to start a relationship with you and love you, and you love me, and that will continue. He's saying it to everybody. Religion is evil. Racial discrimination is evil. I can't understand in the day and age I'm living in, and I'm not talking about third world countries, I'm talking about the Western world, why people will judge other people by the color of their skin. In this day and age, with all the education we've got, I cannot understand why people judge other people by the color of their skin. Racial discrimination. religious discrimination. All these discriminations go on. And do you know what? If you turn Christianity into a religion, it's no better than the Hinduism or the Muslims. No better. Because it was never... Jesus did not come to start a religion. Can you say amen to that? He came to start a relationship. Come on. Come on. My mother loved me, but there was nothing religious in it. There was a relationship. Can you understand that? I love God, and I try to keep every bit of religion out of that, because I don't want religion in this relationship with God. I just want relationship. I love Him. Amen? Can you understand what I'm saying? And I think that this world needs to understand that and see that, so that when we proclaim the gospel, the word of God, let's proclaim it as He is the physician. He can put racial discrimination right. He could take away all the things that we discriminate against. He can take it all away and put it right. But the world doesn't listen. The world doesn't want Him. The world won't listen. The world is dying and says, I don't want to know. But thank God we know. Come on. Thank God you. Some of you have been known for a long time, like I have. Nearly 60 years I've been following Jesus. I still want to keep following Him, because I want to keep on believing what God says. So I've started. I've started to believe. I've told you, when we come to believe, we're talking about God, it's to do with the Word. Everybody say the Word. It's not, well, I believe in God, Pastor John, it's all right. No, it's not. James says the demons believe and they tremble. Don't say to me you believe in God if you don't believe in the Word of God, because you don't believe what He said. He puts His everything that He has online with His Word. Everything He created because He believed it would happen. He's brought about an incredible saving gospel, that the way you get into heaven is by believing and not thinking you're good. Not trying to be religious. Not trying to have ritualistic things happening to get to heaven. No, the Word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Hallelujah. I feel like I've preached a gospel message tonight. It's supposed to be a Bible study, isn't it? But I think it's true what I'm saying. Let's get religious. Let's just keep believing God's Word. And some of you have not been Christians for long. You struggle with some part of the Bible. You struggle, but don't deny it. Maybe you struggle, but keep on saying, I'm going to believe this. What did the hymn writer say? I do believe. I will believe that Jesus died for me. I do believe. I will believe that Jesus died for me. I'm not going to back off from that at all, because there's nothing out there. You could point me to any religion in the world, and I'll show you they're false. Not interested. Point me to any political party, I'll show you they're false. I'm not interested in them at all. You could show me to all the discrimination and the racial discrimination, the sexist discrimination, all that's happening out there. And you can bring the scientists in that will say to you, oh, the day is coming when we will be able to take the genes of a human being and plant them into the womb of a woman, and we will have doctored those genes so those people will be perfect. Well, what does that mean? Everybody's going to be white? Or everybody's going to be black? Or everybody's going to be Hindu? What do they mean? Let me just tell you, Hitler tried to produce a perfect society. But I ask you, what is perfect in the eyes of the world? Come on, what is? And what is average? You know how they say you're an average person? I'm looking around here now. There's not one average person here. There's no such thing as an average person. So let the scientists come and tell you they can do this, can do that, can do. You know they'll only meddle like they've been meddling all the way through. For all the scientific knowledge, which is good, don't get me, a lot of it's good, we have enough weaponry to destroy this world 100 times over. That's what we've produced. Pain, suffering, torment. I'm keeping my faith in the Word of God. Amen. Now, did you get anything from that tonight? I want you to go from here knowing that when you talk of faith, you're not talking about believing the existence of God. you're talking about what he says. The next week, we're going to be talking about some of the details of what he said. And dare you believe it? Because some things, it takes a bit of daring faith. There's such a thing, I know, of the kind of faith that is just like a faithfulness. But I want more than that. I want a kind of faith that really gets things done. Amen. 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 Praise God. So did you get anything?
Yes.
You're going to take something. And it's not. Now, if you want to get saved, come and see me afterwards. I feel like I preached the gospel. I didn't set off to do that, but obviously God wanted me to get that point. And by the way, I believe Christians should always love hearing the gospel preached.
Yes.
Don't ever get tired of it. Don't ever get tired of that. So, Lord, we thank you for the preciousness of your word. It's your word. I know, Lord, you wrote it through men. You wrote it through people who had faults. But it's your word, and your word is pure and true and holy, and it's right. And, Lord, help us to have the same faith in your word that you have in your word. What you have written, help us to believe it in the way that you do so that we will see the miraculous happen in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.